If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like you, if you would, to begin by finding the book of Job. The book of Job. Job is located in the Old Testament, and almost just a little bit left of the center of your Bible is the book of Job. And you can go ahead and find your way. We'll be there. We'll come there shortly. The book of Job, we will turn a little bit in our Bibles this morning. And so you might want to have a piece of paper or your little tablet there ready to stick into place a couple of times. I'm excited for the opportunity to preach to you today on the last Sunday of the year. And I look forward to preaching next Sunday on the first Sunday of the new year. And excited about that as far as I have four foundational thoughts for a good year. Looking at four different men in the scripture next Sunday morning. And I trust that 'll be a blessing to you. I want to preach today kind of a topical message on the subject of time. On the subject of time. And time is not a subject that is usually a favorite of a preacher because you kind of restricted by time. But I'm going to preach today a message entitled, Where Did the Year Go? Where did the year go? You know, I find myself asking that question a lot and running into people a lot, wondering about where did the year go? Hard to believe that 2012 has come and is gone. We had a wedding here yesterday, and Brother Chris Webb married Bonnie, and a beautiful wedding. And man, we've been planning that wedding and working on that wedding and preparing for that, anticipating that, and here it is and gone. I hope they know they're married. We did it yesterday, and so it happened. And I run into people and hear conversations about, man, how fast another year has come and gone. The older I get, and be easy with that statement if you would please, the days are going quicker. And we see that Job understood that. And I find that as we talk about how fast time is going, usually it's a little bit of laughter, a little bit of humor, a little bit of smiling as far as the passing of time. But man, I began to think about time and began to study and look at God's word and think about some things and understand that the speed at which time passes and the years as they go by, really and truthfully, it's not a joke. It comes down to a responsibility in our lives. And I want to preach a message today to really motivate you. I want you to have a great 2013. I want you to have a better 2013 than you did 2012. And I want you to see God manifest himself in your life in a powerful and wonderful way. And I want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I want to see those barriers that were standing in front of you and just overcome by the grace of God. And see wonderful victories and some of those besetting sins to get victory over that. And steps of faith for us to have courage. And so I'm going to try to motivate you today to carry through the whole year to allow God to accomplish some things in you in 2013 that will bless you, bless him, encourage you. And so when you get to the end of 2013 and somebody says, where did the year go? You'll be able to say, man, I'll tell you, this is what God did in my life. He did it here. He did it here. This is what I saw, seen him to do. I do believe there is a tragedy, and I use the word tragedy, as we approach the end of the year. And I think there is a misunderstanding even among God's people, saved people, church people, Bible people, that of the misunderstanding and the misuse of time. And I want to impress upon you the gift of time. I want to impress upon you the importance of time. What do you do with your time? I think one of the great tragedies that a man can do is have a presumption of time. A presumption of time. Just that thought process that says that tomorrow will always be there. Do you know that in the book of Proverbs chapter 27 verse number 1, the Bible teaches us clearly not to boast of ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what the day may bring. Do you understand that there's a lot of promises in the Word of God, but there's not a promise for tomorrow. There's the promise that tomorrow is sufficient unto itself. There's the promise that the Lord Jesus is eternal and he's already in the tomorrow. But never does the Bible promise us tomorrow. It concentrates on the day. Teach us to number our days. And a lot of people, I think even church people, we just live under the presumption that there will always be a tomorrow. But we full well know that tragedy strikes. We full well know that there's an appointed time unto our lives. We do not understand what the day may bring. We did a wedding yesterday, and one of the young men in Chris's wedding, I think it was his dad, if I'm not mistaken, was they were going on a trip. They were in a hotel. They got out of the vehicle after traveling a while. He said to the family, I don't feel well. And in just a few moments, he was gone and he was with the Lord. And so we've all seen people that have left this earth early, as we would appropriate that, or quickly. And we all kind of think we're going to have a deathbed. We all kind of think we're going to have tomorrow. But really, truthfully, the greatest danger, one of the tremendous dangers of our lives, is the presumption of time. I would like to read you just a couple of scriptures. You just listen, and maybe you will remember this. There was a rich man. Nothing wrong with being rich. Not accusing you or saying anything about that. But there is a problem with the presumption. Listen to what the Bible said. Jesus tells this story. It said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. The thought of giving something away never occurred to him. He was a selfish man. So he looked at all that he had and he said, man, I got so much that even my barns can't hold it. What am I going to do? You'd have thought he'd have said, I'll give to the poor. I'll give here. But he didn't. Listen to what he said. This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So this man had the understanding or the mindset of the presumption of tomorrow. He thought he was God. He thought he was in control of his soul. He thought he was in control of his life. He had amassed enough wealth that he could sit back and enjoy retirement, enjoy those things. Nothing wrong with retirement. But his whole process was, I've got all of tomorrow, so I'm going to eat and drink and be merry and relax. Listen to what Jesus said to him. But God said unto him, thou, anybody know what's next? Fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He had a presumption of tomorrow. He never survived the night. Jesus, being the master teacher and knowing how to make application that just grabs your attention, asked the man this question. He said, "This fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Listen to the question. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He said, you think you have tomorrow to enjoy all this. You've given your whole life to store up all these things. You're going to die tonight. What's going to happen to your life? I got good news for you. When I die, I know what's going to happen to my life. It's not based on things. It's placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou fool, the presumption of tomorrow. I read again in the book of James, and James teaches us something about tomorrow. Listen to what the Lord says. Again, it involves a rich man. Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. This is a business mindset. And this is a mindset that just says, man, I'm living for that next opportunity. I'm living for that next moment, that next day. I got to buy it and sell it and I got to get gain. And I'm going to make this investment now because tomorrow I'm guaranteed this return. You may be looking at a return, but the thing he wasn't guaranteed was tomorrow. Listen to what the Bible said. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Most people do not want to identify in the opportunity or the understanding that we are what we are by the grace of God. We have what we have because of God. We have life because God gave it, and there's an appointed time unto us. And we just have this presumption mindset that there will always be a tomorrow. I'm telling you, if you have a presumption that there will always be a tomorrow, it's a very dangerous thought not to care for today. The Bible says in Job, I would agree with Job when he said in Job chapter 7, verse number 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Job, the one who suffered beyond belief. Job, the one who knew the heartache of all of this tragedy of loss and physicalness and all of that. He looked at his life and he said, man, my life is flying by me. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And I would agree that we can understand that. Time goes quickly. The older they get, the more they tell me. Notice I didn't say the older we get. The older they get, the more they tell the young preacher. That days go by quicker. Years go by faster. And time is just going along. You know, really and truthfully, life is short. It ought not to be a surprise to us because the Bible does really talk a lot about the brevity of life. Would you listen to some verses as I read them and just listen to the description of our days on the earth? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. Job, two chapters later in chapter number 9, said, my days are swifter than a post, swifter than a messenger. They flee away. They see no good. I'm reminded of the psalmist in chapter 39, verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is nothing before thee. James chapter 4, verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a what class? Vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You see, life is a precious gift that comes from God. If you would agree with that, say amen. Amen. But so is time. And as we end the year and we look forward to 2013, I'm here to challenge you today. I'm here to motivate you today. I'm here to get you to think today. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your time? What great things did was God able to do in and through you in 2012? Most of us could be honestly labeled as procrastinators. Why do what today what you can do tomorrow? You know, I think about that, and I want to ask you a question. What were you supposed to do in 2012 that you have not done yet? What did you end up thinking? In 2011 and in 2012, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to allow you to do this. In 2012, I'm going to get saved. And here we are at the end of 2012, and you've not yet humbled yourself, surrendered yourself, placed your faith in the Lord Jesus. God, in 2012, I'm going to be a better man. I'm going to be a better woman. In 2012, I'm going to accomplish this. In 2012, this is my year. And we're here at the end of 2012, and now we'll say in 2013. And I am afraid that if we're not careful, we are procrastinating our lives away. I don't know if you know this or not, but you only get one chance to go through life. And I don't want you to procrastinate your life away. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and look back and say, I wish I would have, I could have, I would have done this differently. And so I'm going to speak to you today and preach to you on this subject of where did the year go? What are you doing with your time? I think you need to understand the importance of time. Understand what the gift that time is. I'm going to give you three thoughts about it. Write it down. Number one, time is precious. Time is precious. They say time is money. I'll tell you, time is more than money. It's more precious than money. You cannot necessarily buy it. Why is time precious? I'll tell you why time is precious. Time is precious because time has a beginning and time does have an end. Look, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to Revelation in just a minute, but look at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first what class? Were the first day. So where did time come from? God created time. Now, God is above time, but God created time for the purpose of man. And God created the light, and he called it day, and he separated the day from the darkness, which means he measured out time. If you were to go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 23, when the Bible talks about the new city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down, that time when we will be with the Lord forever, the Bible clearly says that in that place, there will be no more, what's the word? Night. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created the earth for humanity, he said that there is a day and a night. But when that new Jerusalem is created and prepared, that heavenly place where we will go and be with our Savior forever, there's no night there. What happens? That means time has ended. Time is precious. There's a beginning and there is an end to time. Well, Pastor, if time ends, what happens to time? Glad you asked me that question. I'll tell you exactly what happens to time. It merges into eternity. You see, there will be a day when time will cease to exist and all there will be eternity. We say it this way. You want to be saved because you don't want to spend an eternity in hell. Listen, you cannot spend eternity. Eternity has no measure of time. It is eternal. Time ceases to exist and there will be eternity. Every day ends, every night ends, every week ends, every year ends, and if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back, every life will end. There will be a time when we will pass out of time and we will be moved into eternity. Let me tell you something, my friend. In eternity, there's only two places. There's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell, and God's people said. There's no such thing as purgatory for our Catholic friends. You are our friends. We pray for you. We dearly love you. But you can search the whole Bible over and you will not find a place called purgatory. You will find the word purge when it says that he purged us from our sins. Our purgatory is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a place that we will go and hang out. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When the rich man died in Luke and he wasn't saved, he immediately went to hell. Time will cease to exist in your life and there will only be eternity. There is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, the Apostle Paul says, today is the day of salvation. So many people presume upon time and they think, well, I have just got tomorrow. Listen, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you're guaranteed today, you better be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Some people said in 2012, I'm going to get saved. And you found out that it's not as easy as what you thought it was. See, there's no salvation without humility. There's no salvation without a battle, without counting the cost. So you thought, well, Pastor, in 2012, I'm going to give my life to Christ. Now we're going into 2013. You know, if you told the Lord 2012, the only reason you're going to get out of 2012 is because he's long-suffering and he's merciful. That's the only reason you would get out. But I'm telling you, the longer you presume, I'm going to get saved after I get married. I'm going to get saved when I turn 40. I'm going to get saved once I get all of this, live my life to the fullest. I'm going to get saved here, here, or there. My friend, the Bible says, now, fool, today is the day of salvation. I'm glad I got saved the day that God came to me. I'm glad that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt where I'm going when I die. Listen, your pastor loves you. This church loves you. You, everybody in this building needs to be born again. Don't presume you've got tomorrow. The regret of rejecting salvation. I told the 8:30 service, my dad and mom had two pictures hanging in our home when I was a little boy. One of them was a picture of the rapture scene, the Lord Jesus coming down, the city and the chaos on there, and the believers going up. One of the other pictures was a picture of Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark is a fascinating description and symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah built the ark, and the eight souls went inside the ark. The ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. They went inside the ark as we come in Christ by faith, and they were saved from the judgment of God. I will be saved from the judgment of my sin because I am in Christ. That ark was pitched with that pitch representing the power of the Spirit of God and indwelling and keeping of that, and those souls made it through that great flood. But 120 years Noah preached, and people could have got into the ark, but they rejected it. I remember that painting, and it showed the peace of the ark, and it showed the security of the family. But on the outside of the ark, people were clenched in with their nails. The water is rising. The horror on their face, that they understand that they made a decision based on the presumption of time. And they died and went to a devil's hell. I think of Saul. He begged that God would that there would be that opportunity for a second chance. And God said, Saul, you went too far. What about the foolish virgins that were out of oil? They wanted in, but they weren't prepared. What about the rich man in hell? Let me tell you something. You ought to be not a little bit, greatly concerned if you told God, I'm getting saved in 2012, and you still haven't humbled yourself. I would not let this day pass without coming forward, because you do not want to live a life of regret in hell. Well, Pastor, in hell, my mind won't remember all of this. Understand this. The Bible clearly teaches that when the rich man went to hell, Jesus said unto him, he said, remember thou in thy lifetime. One of the great tragedies of hell is you will remember every opportunity you had to be saved. You will remember every message that I ever preached. That'll be a miracle in and of itself. And you will remember every time the Spirit of God touched you. You will remember every one of your loved ones that tried to help you. You will remember every prayer, every time, and it will go over and over and over, and you'll have no chance because you had a presumption. How arrogant is presumption? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I beg you, if you're saved in the room, would you say amen?
Amen.
God, the greatest thing you could do. Time is precious, man. God created it. It has a beginning and it has an end. Not only is time precious, but time marches on. You know, there's one thing about time. It never goes backwards. Oh, yeah, Pastor, we set our clocks back. You might set your clock back, but the moment you hit the little button inside, it goes forward. Time only knows one direction. It cannot be recalled. This is a powerful part of the message, and I want to preach to the people of God here. Some of you are coming to the end of 2012, and you would to God you could do some things different. Some of you started in some relationships in 2012 now that are torn apart. Some have had stupid moments, and you would to God you had a second chance to recall those moments. Some of you have wounded so deep with words. We've made decisions that we regret so bad. And you come to the end of the year and there's no anticipation for the next year because we're so wounded by 2012. Let me just say a couple of things, especially when it comes to relationships here. If you destroyed a relationship in 2012, you need to fix it before 2012 is over. I had to do the same thing last service. Amen, Pastor. That's a good point. Everybody was just silent on that. Cannot recall time. It goes forward. Understanding that time marches on and understanding that there's such a regret and a neglect to recall that, I think there's some things you need to understand about time moving on. Some things that will help you from wounding people, from wounding yourself. Some things that will help you be on some safe and secure ground. Number one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Just write it down. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, time is so precious, and time is only going one direction. You've only got one chance at that moment. You will never be able to receive that moment. A man described it to me after the first service day. I thought it was beautiful. It's like standing on a bridge and watching the water flow under. Once that water passes, it will never come back. Moments and moments and moments of water just passing and passing and passing, and that water never comes back. That's time just passing and passing and passing, and we need to be prepared in those moments. And every single moment of our life, church, we need to be Spirit-filled. How do you keep from stupid moments? How do you keep from those difficult times? How do you keep from those shortcomings and those failures and all of that? I'm Spirit-filled, walking in the Spirit. God, we need that so bad. See, when I'm walking in the Spirit, then I'm able to understand James chapter 1, verse number 19. Write that down. James chapter 1, verse number 19. I'll read it to you. It says this, that we are to be, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Man, how we long to get our words back. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. I can only imagine the heartache of 2012 because of words that led to wrath, words that were spoken because of wrath. I'm sure there's some people here and you're thinking, Pastor, I wish I could have one conversation back. Just one. And you're looking at 2013 and you think, I don't ever want to be hurt like that. I don't ever want to go through that again. I don't want that same suffering in 2013. How do I go forward? It just seems like the moments keep coming and coming. Well, number one, you're spirit filled. See, when you're spirit filled, then you're able to be swift to hear. You're patient. You're tender. You're long suffering. You're hearing the word of God. You're hearing the spirit of God. You're hearing God minister to you. And as you're swift to hear, then you're able to speak. What are you speaking? Not words that come out of our flesh, but words that come from the Spirit of God. And so in those moments, as time is rushing on and your kids are getting older and your marriage is developing and your business is growing and life is changing and things are happening, it's not where I'm just caught with time out of control. I'm a man spirit-filled. I'm a man stable and able to hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm a man that can speak with the authority of God. My words are guarded. And then he goes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, and it says that whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I would to God that we would understand our time and that it marches forward. And in my mind, I need to understand that I want my time on earth to bring glory to God. If that's you, say amen. I want my time to bring glory to God. I want everything about my life to do it. In the rush of those moments, Job said, my life is in torment. And I'm out of my mind, but my days are just spinning like crazy. And I think that's how God's people feel sometimes. And we think, man, what am I going to do? You're going to be spirit-filled. Praise God for the power of the Spirit of God. It's going to stable me so I can be swift to hear God. Slow to speak to my relationships. And my life can be for the glory of God. Powerful thought. Time is precious, man. It has a beginning. It has an end. Time is marching forward. We need to understand that. You're never going to get those moments back. Now, let me tell you something. Pastor, I have destroyed myself. I have been out of control. And just like that water going under the bridge, man, my life has just been out of control. I have been swift to speak. I haven't heard a thing. Wrath has come out. I've hurt my marriage. I've hurt my job. I've hurt my children. I've hurt myself. It seems like just everything is just going at this rapid speed and I can't get the brakes on. And I've done such damage that there will never be any healing. Let me tell you something. As long as there's the blood of Jesus Christ, there's healing for all of our need. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. My past with its sin and its stain, its guilt and despair can be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people, you need to take 2012. You need to take yourself. You need to take those foolish actions, those moments when we weren't spirit-filled, and you need to get a hold of God and say, wash me and cleanse me and fill me and take this away, because the only way forward is the way of the Spirit of God. But I promise you this, the devil will tell you there's never a way forward, but God can always carry us through. And we need to thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all my sin. Time is precious, church. It will be ending one day. It is moving on. And if you're out of control, it's going to destroy you. And then I want to give you this thought. Time is wasting. Time is wasting. You know, we waste a lot of time. And I'm not talking about rest or recreational time. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a second. But I think we waste a lot of time. You ever come home and your wife says, what'd you do today? You ever try to answer that question? That's one of the most difficult questions I ever have to answer. What'd you do today? I don't know. I know I did something today. I was at the church all day. Well, what'd you do? I don't really know. But if you tried to call the church, I'd be busy all day. But I get home, I can't remember what I did. And I think sometimes we kind of time just goes so fast and we're so discombobulated and we waste a lot of time. And time is wasted by God's people. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16, this important verse, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. That word redeeming is the word to buy back. It carries with it the idea of buying up in the marketplace. You see, we are to buy up time. We are to fully use it and buy up the time for the Lord Jesus. I'm afraid that even God's people, we don't see the value of the time we have on earth to serve the Lord. And so Paul said, redeem the time. Actually, buy the time. See it as being precious. Grab the time. Make time in your life to serve the Lord. By the way, the greatest thing you can do with your life is serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Buy the time. I want to direct your thoughts a little bit here, and I want you to be patient with me. Let me get my words out before you let your brain go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 18, divides the temporal and the eternal. And Paul says, for we look not at the things which are temporal, those that are going to pass away, but those that are eternal. In our lives, we have to measure and divide our time with the temporal and with the eternal. And you better get this or you're going to not understand and you're going to be unbalanced. You're going to hurt yourself. Not everything that's temporal is wrong. It's not wrong to take a vacation. It's not wrong to have some things. Some of you for the last 10 years have said, man, one day I'm going to take my wife and we're going to go on a trip. Well, let me tell you something. Do it in 2013. Stop talking about it. Shut up and go on your trip. Some of you have said, man, one day I got to paint my house. Well, paint your house. You know, one day I'm going to move those flowers from there over. Well, move the flowers from there over there. Do it. We spend our lives saying, one day I'm going to do this, and we do nothing. Pastor, I'm taking my family one day to Disney World. Well, then go. Don't go on a Sunday. Maybe go on, well, you can, but only one time. I think the Bible gives one allowance for Sunday Disney World. You know, one day we're going to go eat at that restaurant. Go eat. Do some things, people. You know, we think that we got to wait one day to get to heaven to have joy. I want you to know something. I have heaven on earth. He lives in my heart. And I think God's people are so miserable. We don't do anything. We talk about, I got to paint this house. Paint it. I'm going to get a bigger house. Get a bigger one. I'm going to do this with my family. Go do it. You see, there's this understanding of buying up time. And don't get so eternally minded that you forget about physical things. I don't care if you get up every day and read your Bible, sir. I don't care every day if you get up and pray. I don't care if you serve in some capacity and you do all that and you don't do a blasted thing with your family. Who cares? Well, I'm serving God. If your family goes to hell because they saw a man divided from them, and by the way, a man that serves God will care for his family because the Bible said if you don't, you're worse than an infidel. See, 2012, well, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. Well, go do it, man. Here's our problem. If I can't afford it, or if I can't explain it, or I can't muster it up within my ability, then I just immediately get defeated. So here's the average mindset. Well, one day we want to do that, but we don't have any money to go on that trip. So we're just not going to do that. Let me tell you something. You ever heard of prayer? You ever heard of the miracle power of God? Have you? Can you not, sir, get your wife, grab her hand, fall prostrate on the ground, pour out your soul to God and say, Lord Jesus, I have this desire in my heart. I have delighted in thy word. I would love to do this. God, this is something I believe that you would let me do. I want to do it. Now, God, I need you to provide it. See, we don't want to pray about anything. We want to pay for everything. Well, if you have to pay for everything, you're going to live a very meager life because God, you're very limited. But my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And what we need is a little faith. What we need is a little prayer. What we need is a little trust in God. We need a man to get on his face and say, I want to do this. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, meet my need. That's what my dad did for our family. And you know what? God does those things. He said, if you know how to give gifts to your children, don't you think your Heavenly Father knows how to give to you? Don't you know that every good and perfect gift cometh from above? Well, one day, Pastor, we're going to do this. Well, why don't you get on your face and pray? And watch God begin to become real in your home. That's good preaching from your pastor. Amen. That'll help you. Nothing wrong with buying up some time. Go paint your house. Matter of fact, when you're done, come paint mine. Accomplish something, people. Do something. Something spiritual. Some eternal value. What did you do in 2012 that has eternal value? Well, I got my house painted. We did go to Disney World. Fine. Great. No problem. Hope you had a wonderful time. What did you do for eternal value? Time is wasting. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, listen, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. What does that mean? That means that the Lord Jesus is coming very, very soon. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. He's coming. And in Matthew chapter 25, he talks about that parable of those talents. And the Lord is coming to reckon. Do you understand that God one day is going to hold you accountable with what you did with time? With time. And in that passage of Scripture, and for sake of time, I don't want to read it, but he talks about casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light and going forward in serving the Lord. We serve a great God, all-powerful, who's interested in our very lives, the very detail, wants to use us for His glory. Time is precious. God gave it to us. Time moves forward. We better be Spirit-filled, ready because of the speed of time. But it's wasting. Wasting how, Pastor? Because one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's going to be a reckoning of the works that we've done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Praise God, my sin won't be reckoned there. It's under the blood of Christ. But my works will be reckoned there. And you know what? God's going to open up a book, and it's going to have every one of my days in it. Oh, Tom, I see on Monday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., you didn't get out of bed. Boy, that's going to be a hard day to reckon and face how we spent our time. Listen, I'm not beating you. I'm not even mad at you. I want you to know the joy of being used by God. I want you to know the joy of accomplishing something. Get up. Trust God. Go forward. Serve Him. There's not anything He can't accomplish. There's nothing too hard, nothing too big. Let's not just say, well, one day, let's let 2013 be the year that we accomplish great things as God leads and does a work in and through us. And God's people said, all right, so go home, paint your house. Let's pray.